Tonight we're going to, the Lord willing, complete our study of the Fourth Commandment by looking at questions and answers 61 and 62 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Before I read those, however, I just wanted to make a couple of comments. First of all, it seems as though we've spent a good bit of time on the Fourth Commandment, and we really have. We've spent several weeks, it seems like, but there's a reason for that, besides the fact that you've got a long-winded preacher. And the reason is that the Westminster Shorter Catechism spends more time on the subject of the Fourth Commandment than it does on almost any other subject. If you look at the commandments, the exposition of the commandments in the Shorter Catechism, you'll find that the Westminster Shorter Catechism does spend more time on the Fourth Commandment than any other commandment. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that those men felt, in accordance with Scripture, that this commandment is a very important commandment. And if you look again at Exodus chapter 31 and verses 16 and 17, I think you see one of the reasons why this commandment is viewed as so important. And it's sad, I think I might add this, it's sad that today there are those who would say, yes, the other commandments of God are for us as a church, that they remain binding upon us as Christians. You shall not steal, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. But the Fourth Commandment is a little different, and so very little is said today about the Fourth Commandment. And I think that's sad. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 16 and 17, it says, "So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." In other words, the celebration, literally, the observation of the Christian Sabbath is a sign between God's people and God. And it's an important sign. It's a sign, it's one of the great signs of the covenant relationship which God has established between himself and his people. And when God's people do not take that sign seriously, it's an evidence of the fact, I think, that they are not taking the relationship that they have with him seriously. And that is a testimony to the world. The French atheist Voltaire said, in words similar to these, "If you want to do away with Christianity, do away with Sunday. Do away with the Christian Sabbath." And I think it's true. That was his position, and it's something that we as God's people ought to really take heed to today. Now, I hope we can get through these next couple of questions and answers tonight. I think we can. As we look at question and answer 61, what is forbidden in the Fourth Commandment? The Fourth Commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, the profaning the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. The first thing that the Catechism outlines as forbidden is the omission of the duties required. And the first great duty required on the Lord's Day is the public worship of God. And we can go right back to the scripture text found in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25 to see that this is the case. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I was struck again by the importance of this text when we had here a couple of weeks ago the director of admissions from Covenant College, and he made a little presentation, and when we went down to the office to pick up some materials, I gave him some tapes and some information about our outreach ministry, and he mentioned then, he said, you know, in our church we're going through a program to read through the Bible this year. And I said, that's neat. I said, we're doing that too. And he said, the interesting thing that's coming out of it is that people are holding themselves accountable to that. As we meet week by week, people are asking one another, well, how are you doing? And in a sense, we're holding one another's feet to the fire on this whole project. And I think that's good. And that's one of the things that comes out of our assembling together. And that's one thing that we should do. And I think that as we progress in the coming months and years, we really need to learn how, by God's grace, to take these kinds of responsibilities seriously and carry them out, the stimulating of one another to love and good deeds. And of course, if we don't get together, if we don't assemble as God's people, then we can't do it. And I think that's the whole point. The next item is the careless performance of the duties outlined. And one of the proof texts given is from the prophet Malachi, which is the last of the minor prophets right before Matthew in the first chapter of Malachi. Let's just read several verses here in Malachi chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then, if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you? O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised thy name? You are presenting defiled food on my altar, but you say, how have we defiled thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for not my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? Be cursed, but cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. I think the application of the text is pretty plain for us, presenting less than best to our God is not a happy thing as far as God is concerned. And the Lord here says, now, go ahead, bring less than your best to the governor. I think we could imagine ourselves going to a reception at the White House and wearing less than our best, or could we? No, we wouldn't do that. But to give less than our best to the Lord? No, we shouldn't do that either. Careless performance of the duties required, less than our best. Now again, it seems to me here is a way that we can prepare to give our best to the Lord. Look, if you would, at question answer 90. Question answer 90. How is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? That the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. In other words, the old saying goes, does it not? You only get out of something as much as you put into it. And how often we drill our kids with that. This youngster wants to be playing basketball. We're coming to the close of basketball season now. This youngster wants to play basketball and is not really putting out. And we'll tell him right away, hey, you know, you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. You want to play on that team? You're going to have to work. And the same goes, does it not, for our worship times together. If we're not going to prepare for those times of worship, if we don't prepare, if we're not diligent, we'll not get out of it what we ought to get out of it. And we will be engaging in a careless performance of those duties. And so I think this is a rebuke to me. I need to be more diligent in preparation. And I don't mean the outline of the sermon or the outline of the lesson which is to be presented. I mean heart preparation, prayer before the Lord. Real preparation. The more you pray for these times of our fellowship and worship, the more there will be God's blessing. The more I pray, the more there will be God's blessing. The more we will see lives changed, our lives changed, and the lives of others changed. And so it's an area, I think, that we can see that we need to work on. Well, question answer 61 again. The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required. The profaning the day by idleness. The men who put together the shorter catechism were great on talking about idleness. And I'm not sure I would agree with them 100% on everything that they had to say about idleness, but the Scriptures do have some interesting things to say. For instance, Romans 13:13. Romans 13:13. We just need to read the first part of this verse. Let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing. Now, I'm sure that most of you would say, well, I'm not involved in carousing. I don't do that sort of thing. Our kids are heavily engaged in carousing very often. And on weekends especially, this is a big thing, carousing. And I know I did it when I was a teenager. And I know I've done it as an adult, too. And it's something I think that as families, it would pay us to take a look at it. Carousing, and I think this goes under this whole subject of idleness. What is the day for? There was a beer commercial on TV not too long ago. The weekends are for Michelob. And that's how the world looks at it. It's sad, isn't it? It is sad. This is the day. This is the day, the special day that the Lord has made. And it's for us, and it's for our children. And we need to properly utilize this particular day. The Catechism goes on. And profaning the day by idleness or doing that which is in itself sinful. I think this is plain on the face of it. I'm not sure we need to go into that any more than just mention it. It's a sin to do that which is sinful. And so on any day, that's the case. Not only on the Lord's Day, but it is particularly grievous, it seems to me, on the day which is to be set aside for the Lord. Look back in the Catechism, question answer 83. I hadn't thought about this earlier, but it seems to me it fits here. Wouldn't it be more heinous in the sight of God to be an active sin on His special day? Are all transgressions of the law equally heinous? Some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others? It's true. And we need to understand that too. Okay. Again, question answer 61. The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, the profaning the day by idleness, or doing that which in itself is sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. Again, what do we need to be talking about on the Lord's Day? The Lord's things. That's right. The Lord's things. This is the part that gets me too, and I'll make a confession to you. This morning, one of the first things I did when I came in here was ask Don how the basketball game came out last night. Well, we do need to spend more time on talking about the Lord and the things of the Lord. Isn't that right? We do. The analogy being, again, we're calling time out during the week. We look at the week, what have we done wrong, what is God calling us to do, and we therefore talk about our worldly employments and recreations in that light. Correct? And so we're following then, it seems to me, the teachings of Scripture and what the Catechism has to say here by unnecessary thoughts, words, and works about our worldly employments and recreations. Good analogy. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. Once again, this is a text that we continually come back to with regards to this subject. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. I really love the emphasis. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Praise the Lord. A turning from our own desires in a more specific way to the desires of the Lord. Okay. Question answer 62. We're speeding on. What are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment? The reasons annexed to the fourth commandment are God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments, His challenging a special propriety in the seventh, His own example, and His blessing the Sabbath day. What reasons? God is saying, in accordance with Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, turn from your own pleasure, turn from your own words, turn from your own word, turn from your own ways. This is God's day. What has God given you already? 6 days God's given you. Isn't that gracious of the Lord? Is God a hard taskmaster? God could have said, Well, I'm going to turn the tables on you. You celebrate for 6 days, and on one day you get your work done. I want you to get all your work done in one day. Sometimes I think we feel that's the way it is. But that isn't the way it is. We are given by the Lord 6 days to do all of our work. And I think in that God's being very gracious to us. Okay? And so, again, as Eldo pointed out in his analogy, we need to plan our work, and we need to accomplish that work in the time allotted, and then to lay it aside. Take time out. And we'll be better off for it, will we not? Hello? We will, won't we? I think it's amazing that it's so true. Okay? God has given us 6 days of our own. Okay? Does God challenge us then to look at this seventh day differently? Does He really? The Catechism puts it this way. His challenging a special propriety in the seventh. The word propriety has the meaning of a day which is fitting, a day which is suitable. And this day which God has given as the Sabbath, as the Christian Sabbath, is a day which is fitting for His worship, which is suitable for His worship. That's one way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it, however. Go back, if you would, to question answer 52. Question and answer 52. What are the reasons annexed to the second commandment? We find the same word here. The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, His propriety in us, and the zeal He hath for His own worship. If you recall our discussion of this question and answer, we talked about the fact that the word propriety, in its older definition, has the flavor of ownership. In other words, it comes from the same root that as the word proprietor, the owner of a store, or the owner of a piece of land, the owner of a farm. And the emphasis here is God owns us. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And so, because God owns us, He has every right in the world to tell us how we ought to worship. That's the second commandment. And when we look at the fourth commandment and question answer 62, His challenging a special propriety in the seventh. In other words, God is saying to us, look, every day belongs to Me. But this day, the first day of the week, belongs to Me in a very special way. In Psalm 118, verse 24, well, we just as well turn there. Psalm 118, verse 24. The kids love to sing this. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We like to sing that too. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day belongs to the Lord. But in a special way, this day is the day that the Lord has given to us. And God is laying a challenge before you and me in saying, I want you to look at this day, and I'm challenging you. Now, I'm challenging you to view this day as especially owned by Me above other days. That's why it's called in the New Testament the Lord's Day. And so we need to take heed to that. Are we up to God's challenge? I guess that's one of the questions we can ask. Are we up to God's challenge? And the answer to that question is yes, by the grace of God we are. And praise the Lord that that can be the case. Right? His challenging a special propriety in the seventh, his own example, God's example. Again, let's go back to Exodus 31, 16 and 17. We started out there. Let's go back to that text. Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17. I found this challenging myself. Exodus 31, 16 and 17. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. See, this is part of the covenant. This is a sign. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from his labor and was refreshed. You see what it says about God here? He ceased from his labor and was refreshed. Now, do you suppose God really needed a rest? The Almighty needing a rest? He who never slumbers nor sleeps, as Psalm 121 tells us. Did he really need a rest? No, I don't think he needed a rest. But is it not a source of comfort to us that he looks at his creation and is refreshed by the works of his hands? Can you identify with that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever accomplished a task and then rested from that task, stepped back and viewed the work of your hands and been refreshed by what has taken place? Not everybody at once. It happens, doesn't it? It's something I think we experience, and it's something we experience because we are made in the image of God. How much more does God look at the recreation of men and women like us and look at the works or the results of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and find refreshment, being satisfied with the work of His Son and the outcome of His plan of redemption? He steps back and says, yes, it's good. It's good. Praise the Lord. We can do that too. That's God's example for us. And I think it's a significant example. Something I need to do more of. I really do. That's right. Absolutely. A lot of satisfaction from what our children do, or our grandchildren, or our great-grandchildren. It's a tremendous, just a tremendous feeling. And does not God take satisfaction in what His children do? Same thing. As we are being recreated in His image, we can take the challenge to look at this day as a special day, to step back and be refreshed by what has been accomplished. Now, there is a problem here, though, isn't there? A problem that God does not experience, and that is the problem of sin. He doesn't experience it, at least directly, the way we do. Because we are not always able to look back and say, well, I'm grateful that this is what has been accomplished in the past week. Sometimes we look back and we say, whew. some have said, characterizing Calvinism, a fellow falls down the stairs and says, whew, I'm glad that's over with. And that is a characterization, to be sure. But sometimes we feel that way. We're glad the week's over. Thank God it's Friday, the saying so often. But what is this day given to us for? We ought to lead up to it, right? With our planning and with our preparation. And when we do so, we'll be able to look back and give thanks to the Lord for what He has accomplished. And I think part of the difficulty that we face is that we don't take the day seriously enough that we lead up to it the way we should, in preparation for the day. Okay? God's example. God rested. God was refreshed. We too should rest and be refreshed. And then finally, under question answer 62, the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment are God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments, His challenging a special propriety in the seventh, His own example, and His blessing the Sabbath day. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. Where else can we go? We can go to several other places in the fourth commandment itself. But here is the first explanation of the day that is given to us in Scripture. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all of His works, all of His work which God had created and made. God blessed the day. Now, I'm sure the question could be asked, has not God blessed every other day? Are all, what's that? It's a special day and it's a special blessing. Exactly right. For the Christian, there is a blessing every day, is there not? There ought to be. And even when difficulties come upon us, we ought to draw back and we ought to remember Romans 8:28. Right? All things do work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. We also ought to remember that the troubles of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed to us. That's true. And even in the difficulties of everyday life, there is the blessing of God, which we can see. Sometimes we have to ask the Lord to open our eyes to it, but it's there. But there's a special blessing on the first day of the week, as God's people assemble. A special blessing. And I think we need to remember that. We need to enter into God's blessing. We need to enter into God's rest. And one of the ways we can do that is to observe the day. Okay? Now, let me draw your attention again to Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. Let's turn back there, please, to Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then will you take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Folks, this is a promise. This is a promise of God. We really have a tendency to look at the fourth commandment, especially above all the other commandments, to look at the fourth commandment in a negative way. And we are perpetually asking, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? We are perpetually, it seems to me, asking those kinds of questions. It's always the case, no matter when the subject of the fourth commandment comes up. And I maintain that as soon as we begin asking those kinds of questions, we are already on the wrong track. The day is not a day in which we should ask ourselves what we can't do. The day is a day in which we ought to be concentrating on what we can do to the glory of God. We can come to worship with God's people. It's not scheduled on any other day like it is on this day. We can pray together. We can sing together. We can do many things on the Lord's Day that we are unable to do on other days. And we ought to begin all the more to get a mindset on the positive aspects of the day and not be asking so much what is prohibited. But we ought to be asking and searching the Scriptures and searching our own hearts with regards to what we can do. And what do the Scriptures say? Then, verse 14, then you will take delight in the Lord. See, this is a sign. This day is a sign. And the same word is used in the New Testament to indicate the miracles of Jesus. The same word is used in the New Testament in speaking about the miracles of Jesus, that they were miracles which authenticated His ministry, you see. Now, what is this day? This is a day which is a sign which authenticates the relationship which God has established with us. And as we observe the day, we are all the more giving God opportunity to authenticate His relationship with us, the relationship which He has established with us. We are so man-centered, and dare I say it, so self-centered in our thinking that we fail to look at God first. We look at ourselves first. And I'm guilty. I'll admit it. But as we look at this day as a day, a sign in which God authenticates the relationship which He has established with us, we can really find a blessing in it. We've talked about these commandments as we've progressed also in this light, that every one of them, the fourth commandment included, every one of them gives us an opportunity to show God that we love Him. See, there's the positive side again. And so, this is a special day for us to show one another and for us to show the world who needs a Savior, that we really love the Lord. And I think that's what it's about. I really do. And I hope that as we progress together in the relationship that God has been pleased to establish between us, my prayer is that we'll learn more and more how to love the Lord and how to show the world that we love the Lord. And this is one of the great ways to do it. It really is. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, that you do give us 6 days to labor and do all of our work. And we pray, Father, that this first day of the week which you have given to us, which is the Christian Sabbath, will be a special day for us, not just because we gather as God's people to worship, but because we recognize more that it's your day. Cause us to delight in it, Father, to look forward to it, to plan our weeks so that we prepare week by week for this day. And may it be, Father, that as we do, that you will enliven our hearts in such a way that we will rejoice more in the salvation that you've given to us. And Father, we will also be a people who have a rich testimony to a lost and dying world, because they do not honor this day, Father. You know that. And we have great struggles as individuals because we are pulled in so many directions, especially regarding this day. But grant, O God, that we might stand, and having done all, truly stand, because we love you and grant that the testimony might be, see how they love Him. Grant that that might come out of our better understanding the Lord's Day, Your special day. Hear us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.